God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers. He didn't wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. In one way, in a weird way, you almost have to be racist to think this wouldn't happen. You'd almost have to be racist to not see this coming. That worries me. It worries me. I didn't see it coming to this degree. It never occurred to me in terms of so-called race relations. When I say so-called, I know this makes me a racist, but I don't like to think of people in terms of race because it's divisive and because it reduces humanity to a level that I don't think God wants us reduced. And for all, the Lord Jesus wants us in the family, not as Greek nor Jew nor servant nor slave, but as a body. That's what the Lord Jesus wants. Therefore, it should be what we want. And I never thought to say, you know, the Democrats and their dear, dear friends like Mitch McConnell, they're going to lose the black vote. Now, over time, this is bound to happen. People change. But to the degree that it's happening, and it's not just the black vote, it's the Hispanic vote. Oh, no, I've talked about President Trump seeing his support from black voters triple up to 22%. That's never happened with the Republican president. And he did things very proactively to make that happen. One of the things they did, very, very wise politically, was to give a lot of felons who were in prison, who happened to most of them be black, an opportunity to get out and to remake their lives. And in many cases, it's been a beautiful, beautiful shift in the lives of many people. I've talked to some of the people who received this, effectively clemency from President Trump. I've talked to them on radio shows, and many of them have gone on to change lives of others and really, really in line with what God wants. Some godly men. There's also been some cases of people who shouldn't have ever been let out, and that's been proven, and they've gone and reoffended. Was it compassion from Trump? Was it politics? Maybe it's both. Maybe it's both. That was an outreach to the black community because black people have been told by Democrats that the only reason black people go to jail or prison is because of white racism. Now, President Trump never said that. He never said, "I'm taking these people out of prison because of white racism." But there are, when you have lectured black people for their entire lives, that the only reason black people end up in prison is because of racism, you're going to get that result in people's minds. President Trump's letting him out. He must agree that there's racism. But I did not think of saying this. And this is the part that has me concerned. Do we think black people and Hispanic people are so stupid that they're not going to see what's going on at the highest levels of government? Do we think they're not going to see the incompetence? Do we think that all Hispanic voters are going to be super, super excited to see a lot of criminals crossing the border and coming into their cities to live? Do you think that Hispanic people are going to go, "Well, at least they're Hispanic criminals, because now we want our Hispanic criminals back"? When you have people who actually fled countries like Honduras and Venezuela to come here, or Mexico, they actually fled seeking actual refugee status. Our countries have fallen apart. It's not safe for our kids. Let's go to the United States. It's at least more stable. Do you think that they're going, "Oh, cool, now they're bringing in MS-13. I miss those guys"? It never occurred to me to say it that way. We've talked about the fact that Hispanic people are pro-life. We've talked about the fact that Hispanic people tend to be people of faith, Catholic faith predominantly. We've discussed that, but I never got to the core of this. Why are we acting like black people and Hispanic people are stupid? They're not. They're as capable of seeing what's going on with the figurehead and the people who run the figurehead as we are. I talked about this last week on my video cast, and it's really, really helpful sometimes to see things on video. If you haven't subscribed to my podcast on video, it's video.thetoddhermanshow.com. The reason I say this about this particular segment is it features the work of a guy named John Byrne Murdoch. He writes at the Financial Times, and he did a masterclass on gathering data from multiple sources, and he's proving there's a massive racial realignment in the country. Nate Silver writes about this. Nate, of course, formerly with the New York Times and has his own now service to this. He's considered to be one of the best minds in data. He gets a lot of things wrong, but most of them do. He writes about John Byrne Murdoch's piece. There is a shift going on in American politics. Democrats are precipitously losing support from black voters, non-white voters, with the intention to vote in the presidential election. Since 2016, it's gone from 75% Democrats among these non-white voters, now approaching 50%, dropping from Republicans in 2016. It was below 25%. It's now nearing 50%. So if this trend line continues, it will be an absolute flip, where 75% of black voters, non-white voters, supports Republicans and 25% support Democrats. Here's Nate Silver's commentary on this, and he points out that the whole thread is worth reading. It is. There's a lot of data, and the Burns-Murdoch notes that the problems are particularly bad for Democrats among working-class voters of color and younger ones. Many black, Hispanic, and Asian American voters have long identified as moderate or conservative rather than liberal, and Byrne-Murdoch theorizes that Democrats tilt towards more liberal politics, though Nate Silver says, I'd prefer to call them left or progressive rather than liberal, is catching up with them, especially as memory of the civil rights era fades. The thread triggered its share of responses from the usual suspects, part of a recent pattern of poll denialism among Democrats that has crept its way into even the White House. And it's true, there's some things that you could critique. Byrne Murdoch is mixing and matching data from different polls, and the observations from 2024 is based solely on the recent New York Times Siena College poll, which had a relatively small sample size. I'd rather have taken a larger sample. But if he'd done that, he'd likely found the same thing. Nate Silver notes, as you know, I'm not a fan of digging into cross traps because of the small sample sizes. However, Adam Carlson's been performing an invaluable service by aggregating the results of different polls together, which at least solves the sample size issue. And the fact that he comes away with is this, Nate Silver. The flip is happening. Now listen to the degree to which it's happening. As you can see, Biden's margin against Trump has basically not moved an inch among white voters. He's losing them by 12 percentage points as he did in 2020. However, now listen to this. Biden is now openly winning Hispanics by 7 points, down from 24 points in 2020. Black voters by, quote, only 55 points as compared with 83 points in 2020. How is it that we would expect otherwise, given what the Democrats and their dear, dear friends like Mitch McConnell are doing to the country? Non-white voters live here as well. And they also have to suffer the unbelievable disservice of being represented in society by people like Joy Reid. Yes, I'm tying these two together. If you're a non-white voter and you're told that Joy Reid is a leader in your community, and Joy Reid gets to go on TV and say things like this about the next Benedict case, and you're a black voter who knows that there are men and women, God made man in his image, male or female, he made us, that they, like anyone else, can look at the gender ideology and say, this is madness, it's lies. But they're told to sit down and listen to their betters like Joy Reid. Joy Reid talking here about the incredibly sad case of Nex Benedict, who was not beaten to death in a school. She wasn't even seriously injured in a fight that it appears she began. She did go home and apparently murder herself. this girl who'd been so abused by society, telling her, yeah, you're not male nor female. Utter abuse. That's the serious abuse. Imagine being black and being told that Joy Reid is your better.
X deserved the chance to grow up. But tragically, that is not going to happen. Instead, Nex died a day after a fight in a school bathroom at Owosso High School in Owosso, a suburb of Tulsa.
So pausing here, this isn't an old video. When Joy Reid says Nex died after, that's true. By suicide.
You know, while we don't have a definitive cause of death in this
case. Except we do. It's suicide.
The idea of a fight in a bathroom probably sparks fear in the heart.
So listen to this. The idea of a fight in a bathroom probably sparks fear. We don't have a cause of death, but we know it was suicide. Was it an overdose?
Of most parents of LGBT or non-conforming kids, I assume.
We are losing our kids, and we're losing it because of so many politically motivated attacks that are putting laws in place and creating a culture of violence. You've got...
Okay, so just pause this and think like a black voter. You want to talk about a culture of violence... Because there's laws being put in place that will not let boys compete against girls or men against women in sports, that will not let boys jump into the shower with girls in public schools. And this is the culture of violence? If you're a black voter aware that the number one cause of death of young black men is young black men, and you're being told that Joy Reid is your better and this woman who's on with her, obviously wearing smart glasses, these are your betters?
One of the founders of Libs of TikTok, who was appointed...
Again, I hate to keep pausing this, but I'm thinking of the black people around whom I lived. When I lived in a ghetto in Seattle, I was one of two white people in my building. They were human beings who didn't want their kids shot up in gang wars. And I'm just imagining sitting in church with them and playing this and having to go, Libs of TikTok! Talk to me about the Crips and the Bloods.
Into an advisory board in the state. She doesn't even live in the state and was appointed to an advisory board. Let's be clear. This is egregious. And it's something that every parent, every person watching should be fearful of.
Okay, so this woman in smart woman glasses on MSNBC with Joy Reid nodding in deep sincerity is here to tell black parents, your concern should be a website called Libs of TikTok. Not fatherless homes, not drugs, not gangs, certainly not illegal immigrants being flown into your cities, distributed through your neighborhoods without taking any time to check and see who they are. So, of course, black people and non-white voters are going to become alert to this. How could they not become alert to this when you get gibberish like this?
And for those who don't know what Libs of TikTok is, it's a TikTok app, a TikTok sort of group of people who go after LGBTQ plus people. And this is just one headline.
So it's not a group of TikTok people. It's a Twitter account that runs videos of liberals saying things on TikTok.
Teacher who was targeted by Libs of TikTok was sent death threats, lost his job.
Okay, I can't even. I sound like a little kid. I can't even. I literally can't even, except I can. They're going to go do the thing where by Libs of TikTok showing you what liberals say and want people to hear because they say it publicly, you're then responsible if people make the poor, bad, hateful, sinful decision to issue death threats. I'm white. I can see that as madness. Hispanic people can see it as madness. Black people can see it as madness. So I want to apologize for having not said earlier on, why are we being so slow to say, hey, black people aren't stupid. Hispanic people aren't stupid. Praise God for showing us this. We'll continue in the Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I had a conversation the other day with some young guys who helped build the website Daily Wire. Ben Shapiro has been there. Matt Walsh is extraordinarily successful. They've done a brilliant job of turning it into not just a major podcasting platform. They do movies and documentaries, and now they're in fact creating products like razors and beers. It's a brilliant, brilliant work. And in talking with them, talking about my podcast and how to expand the audience for that and what their view is of it. And I was really heartened on one hand to have one of these young guys say, you know what, you've done some shows just that are just straight discussion of faith. And he mentioned a show I did in particular called Strong and Courageous, which is about how young men have been lied to about what it means to be strong and courageous from a biblical perspective. And I was heartened to hear him say, do more like that. That's going to do really well on YouTube. See, we're going to have to use YouTube. I hate it because Google is a company that's doing unique forms of evil to the world. And because I'm not allowed to speak full truth on Google. It's one of the reasons I left local radio is because I was not allowed to speak full truth. And there's some topics that will get you absolutely banned. I am not allowed to talk about election integrity on YouTube. I am not allowed to talk about the COVID injections in a truthful way on YouTube. And I'm certainly not allowed to address issues related to gender ideology on YouTube. And there's some others, but those are the big ones. But there's one more that'll get you flat banned. And perhaps it's the biggest one because it ties these all together, and that's pharma. I can't go on YouTube and speak truth about pharma. So on the one hand, I'm very excited that some of these things these guys suggested and some of the ways that we can actually get people exposed to God's word on YouTube, because they told me, oh, right now, young men are absolutely hungry to hear God's word in a way spoken that they've not heard spoken before. And that has to do with podcasting, not that God's word can be spoken in a way that makes it more magical, but they haven't seen it presented in the way we might present it. So the reason I was sad for that is because I believe God wants me to talk about what's being done to the human body. And the fact that transing kids is only part of this. It's a beginning. We talked about this last week, that the end game, of course, is transhumanism. We talked about this last week. But there is not a show prep session that goes by where I don't look at what are some of the cornerstone projects or products we or movements we talk about. We talk about pharma. Why? Because every time I sit down to do show research, if I'm scanning the news, I get something like this. You know what the HPV vaccine is, right? This is an injection that many states, including Texas, rock-ribbed conservative Rick Perry, when he was the governor of Texas, installed this diktat that kids have to get injected with the HPV vaccine to prevent what? Some cancers that can happen through sexual contact. They want little kids to get these injections. Many states have now required this. When we were living in the separate country of Washington State, one of our pediatricians, a dear lady, said, are you going to do the HPV vaccine for your daughter? She was 12. I said, if my daughter's having sex at the age of 12, I have problems worse than a low propensity chance that she's going to end up with cancer from it. No, we'll talk to her about the risks and what God's view of sexual activity before marriage is. But no, we're not going to be getting the HPV vaccine. Well, there's a new study that compared nearly 2 million people who had been shot up with this stuff and people who had not been shot up with this stuff. These were adolescent girls. They tracked them over 10 years. They found that those girls vaccinated with an HPV quadrivalent HPV vaccine were 4.4 times more likely than their unvaccinated counterparts to develop rheumatoid arthritis. This is just one of the side effects they found. And this is, you could say, well, who could have possibly seen this coming? Well, it happens that in a study, a Colombian retrospective cohort study, when they compared these records and they found that they were 4.4 times more likely to create these harms, who could have seen this coming? Well, there's a large body of study, peer-reviewed scientific literature from the United States, Australia, Denmark, Sweden, France, Japan, Colombia, all of these that demonstrated an association between HPV vaccination and autoimmune conditions. Autoimmune can lead to rheumatoid arthritis. Who could have seen this coming? Anti-vaxxers were called. One of the biggest fights my wife and I ever had, and it was not, I mean, it wasn't a physical fight, but it was a serious, serious fight, was on the topic of getting our daughter immunized against anything but three core diseases. And my wife held absolutely fast to this. And I prayed that God would protect our daughter and people she was around. And this came to a real head for us when our daughter had just something horrible happened to her. It changed who she was for a while. Satan was all over her. And we had to put her in treatment. And it's hardest, most terrible day of my life was putting my daughter in treatment. I never want to relive that. I'm surprised that God, well, I'm not. God got me through it. But I'm surprised I didn't drive the car into a freeway overpass. I was that devastated to drop my daughter off at a place like that. We almost couldn't get her in because of her lack of vaccination. This was at a time when she was actively trying to kill herself all the time. So you can imagine how my wife and I collided on that. My wife would not back off of her position. And now I'm so thankful. To vaccinate little girls, because it's little girls, against a cancer that can form through sexual activity that, first of all, is very, very, very unlikely to happen. Not the sexual activity, but the cancer. Instead of using this as yet another reason to explain why you should not have sex before marriage, well, that's backward in and of itself. But people who have studied what goes into vaccines have said for years, none of them are particularly safe. Then we stack them up on top of each other at those young ages. No, they're not particularly safe. But now we get to the real reason. I continue to insist on tracking pharma. Because pharma wants to track you. And we can pretend this isn't happening all day long, and it doesn't mean it's not happening. This is the CEO of Pfizer. This is one of my favorite clips from back in the day. It's him speaking at a World Economic Forum, and he has a really cool idea for a pill, which, by the way, these exist.
FDA approved the first electronic pill, if I can call it like that.
It is a basically biological chip that it is in the tablet. And once you take the tablet and dissolves into your stomach, sends a signal that you took the tablet. So imagine the applications of that, compliance, the insurance companies to know that the medicines that patients should take, they do take them. It is fascinating what happens in this field.
It is fascinating what happens when the medical lobby is part and parcel of the insurance lobby, when one filthy hand, makes the other hand filthy, that they can create a pill that exists now that tracks compliance. And he says it right there. Your insurance company will know whether you took the pill or not. You know who else will? Government will know whether you took the pill or not. Now, I don't fancy myself a prophet at all. Far from it. But I do fancy myself someone who grew up in the tech sector. And there is a real belief in the tech sector that if you can, you should. So you can count on a day where they just mail the pills to you. And then, did you comply? Well, maybe you have your dog take the pill. No. Not with the way technology is growing. It will know it's you because they'll have your DNA. Did you take the pill? And if you think that's a bizarre conclusion for where they want to head this, I'll tell you this. The distribution failed. The application failed, but Canada approved a plant-based mRNA so-called vaccine, meaning it's injected into plants. Meaning, here's your mRNA lettuce. That's just one step. I'm reading patents for printers at your house that will produce so-called medication like this, where you'll actually be able to go to a website and probably hit a QR code. You'll have these tablets created for you in your home, and then you'll be going to be told to take one, and your compliance will be tracked. The reason we talk about pharma, and the reason that I started this segment by saying I had this discussion with these young guys from the Daily Wire, they want me to talk about more cultural issues. Fine. As long as it's through the word of God, I'm happy to do it. You just got to tell me what the cultural issues are, because I'm completely disconnected from the world. I'm utterly disconnected from the world in terms of media, et cetera. You got to tell me what they are. And if I find them something I can add words, God's word to, I'd be happy to do that. The reason that I didn't want to make that change is because pharma crosses all barriers. When the human kind was created, God gave us bodies. He gave us bodies made in his image, male and female. We know that. He gave us the garden. We could go everywhere in the garden. We could walk with God in the garden. You know the one prohibition. Do not eat from the tree of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't do that. We did that. From the moment our bodies were created, they were given special status, made in the image of God. When we were given legs and the ability to be mobile and to move ourselves about and be ambulatory, we were given a desire to do that. The desire to walk and see where we live, to walk and see the areas. We were given the responsibility to do that. Not only in the garden where we were told to tend the garden, but after the fall, we had to tend the garden. We had to do this in order to be able to eat. The reason I track pharma so heavily is because there's a crossover point that occurred about 3 years ago where people who work in the realm of theory, in the realm of digital inventions, realized that the biggest place that they had not yet conquered, the biggest is not space, it's the human form. And there began to be a war between people who operate in the digital world and what they call, this is what they call it, meat space. That's what they call it. They call our bodies meat space. And there is now a gold rush to own the meat space. So I'm going to continue to track pharma. And it is a cultural issue. When I was talking to these guys from the Daily Wire, and they're now working for my, they're helping us expand the web, or not the website, but the podcast. We had this great discussion with them. One of the things I brought up in terms of cultural issues is, guys, if you want a cultural issue, it would be the people your age and how many psychotropics they're snacking on. Because the fact that so many Americans, one third, are on antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds, and with people their age, sometimes it's two thirds of an entire population, their brains will not work without a daily, multi-daily dose of pharma. Now pause and think of this. When God gave us bodies made in his image, he gave us minds able to receive his word. The Holy Spirit able to be in us as a result of the Lord Jesus, leaving behind the special helper, the Holy Spirit. But we can't get there without minds that are able to perceive him and to enjoy his word and read from it and sometimes be challenged from it. When you have two-thirds of a population of young people, which is often the case, whose minds will not work without a mind-altering substance, how then do they continue to receive the word of God? Well, God can do all things. But we're told to respect the temple. How respectful of the temple are we being when somehow we've manufactured a case that means that 2/3 of young people need to have their minds altered with these drugs, but it's not just that. Please hear me on this. There are countless discussions that are in public of pharma executives playing with the idea of changing mindset using medicine. They talked about this in terms of vaccine hesitancy. They'd like to see pills that would solve the issue of vaccine hesitancy in people. They want to see us have our minds changed and our beliefs changed. You think that would stop with attacking vaccine hesitancy, as they call it? No. What would be the end point? Compliance to the gods of pharma. That's why I will continue to track pharma here and on my podcast. Even as I expand my focus to issues culture, it doesn't get more cultural than what we do with the bodies God gave us. We'll come back with the Tower Babbling on the Disciples View. It's a pretty simple way to explain the, let's not call it bizarre, decision in the Fannie Willis case. This woman who is allowed to continue to prosecute President Trump. It's not bizarre. It's normal. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. It's normal and it shouldn't be. You know, I'm spending so much time reading the prophets these days that in one way I'm becoming more cynical. In another way, I'm praising God more often. I'm praising God for opportunities to live the faith. You know, if we're never confronted with circumstances where we actually have to live our faith, we actually don't know how strong it is. There's a reason I compare really extreme exercise to really, really diligent following of the faith. You don't really know what you're capable of doing it until you absolutely have to do it. There's a trick I use in exercise for that called the halfway point. I'll tell you about that in a bit. It's to me, it's been fundamental to being able to increase my health pretty radically. And this past weekend, being able to, well, walk in my faith, literally walking in my faith. So in regard to Fannie Willis, it's pretty easy to describe. Jonathan Turley, of course, is a lawyer. You've seen him on TV. And he's, I guess at one time, had been sort of a guy, a little bit middle of the road. I don't sense anything anymore about him that's middle of the road. I think he sees what's going on to the institutions in this country, what they're being put through and how they're being destroyed. And I think it disturbs him. He talked about the Fannie Willis case. She's the woman who decided to have an adulterous affair with a guy, then hired him to prosecute President Trump, though this man has no experience whatsoever in RICO cases, has actually taken very, very few cases to completion, lots of plea agreements, etc. And then she lied about the affair, that she pretended that the affair started after she placed him in this position to prosecute Trump. She benefited financially from all this. This is just normal business in Washington, D.C. circles. And she also, speaking of D.C., lied about the fact that she met with the White House prior to agreeing to prosecute President Trump. Here's Jonathan Turley. This is a great and perfect way to explain this.
You know, it's like, you know, finding two people in a bank vault and taking one off to jail. I mean, they both testified in the same way. They were the two parts of this this relationship. And yet only one of them was disqualified. I mean, well, why should Willis escape that same penalty.
Right. They were both coordinating to benefit from what should have been only benefiting the taxpayers. If you think that prosecuting President Trump in Georgia this way is benefiting the taxpayers, I don't. I don't think an argument can be made that way. But the question is, yeah, why one, not the other? Well, the answer is this. Because the narrative must win. The party in power must continue. And then both of them are black. And you can't go kicking off black people from a case involving President Trump. It shouldn't be that way. That's racism. But that is a state of normal affairs these days. And as I'm reading the prophets, I'm reminded that God is watching. He's made a determination. There's going to be judgment. It's already happened. In God's mind, it's already happened. He's timeless. So let's ourselves not give in to the ways of this world. Be not transformed by it, but continue to be new beings made in the blood of Jesus. And then let's act that way. That's actually just a note to self. I don't have any special position to preach to anyone else. Note to self, Todd. Listen to your own radio shows. On this show, Disciples View, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciples View presents...
And there's a lot of other... For example, the idea that we're, in terms of taxes, that they refuse to... For example, I was able to balance the budget and pass everything from the global warming bill anyway.
The Tower of Babbling.
So it's three sound bites that I think put some proof points behind my assertion that God places these supposedly wise people way up high so we can look at their wisdom and see just how grand it is. An MSNBC guest is our first soundbite, Kelly Robinson, and she knows exactly who's to blame for the death of Nex Benedict, this young woman who'd been conned into believing she was gender neutral, gender non-binary. And she's blaming, well, just the right people. And she's doing this at a time where Biden had just put out a statement saying that Nex Benedict's death, well, here, I'll let you hear the figurehead's statement for yourself.
Nex deserved the chance to grow up. But tragically, that is not going to happen. Instead, Nex died a day after a fight in a school bathroom at Owosso High School in Owosso, a suburb of Tulsa. You know, while we don't have a definitive cause of death in this case, the idea of a fight in a bathroom probably sparks fear in the hearts of most parents of LGBT or non-conforming kids.
So the cause of death was suicide. The statement from the figurehead just came out again, trying to pretend that this was a death associated with the way Nex decided to pose or was conned into believing she was gender non-binary. Her mom didn't call her that, called her a girl, didn't even use the name Dex, Nex, use her actual name. So here's Kelly Robinson on MSNBC.
We are losing our kids, and we're losing it because of so many politically motivated attacks that are putting laws in place and creating a culture of violence. You've got one of the founders of Libs of TikTok, who was appointed to an advisory board in the state. She doesn't even live in the state and was appointed to an advisory board. Let's be clear. This is egregious, and it's something that every parent, every person watching should be fearful of.
No, we should be fearful of the fact that a young girl was conned into believing she was gender non-binary and then murdered herself. Because the sad fact of the matter is, that's what happened. And it appears as though Nex started the fight. And kids do this. Kids get imbalanced. Particularly in a culture that's turned away from God. That's what should concern us. A suicide of this young girl, but that's going to be lost quite purposely. Just the same way that they did with Matthew Shepard. Matthew Shepard was not murdered because he was same-sex attracted. He was murdered because he blew a drug deal. That should alarm us. Just as equally as if he was murdered because he was same-sex attracted. I don't remember God saying, "Thou shalt not murder," and here's the really bad ways to do it. Another MSNBC guest, Zoe Zephyr, talked about Next Benedict.
Our community recognizes a hate crime when we see one, and this has all the markings of it. And it's doubly concerning when the state superintendent has called trans people an assault on truth and appointed Libs of TikTok founder Chaya Rychek to the school library board. I think if we want to get to justice for Next Benedict and their family, the Department of Justice needs to step in.
The Department of Justice needs to step in to a bathroom fight that Nex apparently started. They need to step in because Nex killed herself. But they don't need to step in when schools around the country are conning kids into believing they're not born in the right bodies. Can you imagine the torture of believing that? What Chaya Rychek did was ran a video of the school. And by the way, no one has said that so-called trans people are an assault on truth. No one. It doesn't even make sense as a sentence. What people have said is that lying to kids that they can choose their own sex, which is what they mean by gender, or that you were born in the wrong body, is just that. It's lies. On CNN, a guest named Asher Avin demands the medical records for the death of Next Benedict and demands the removal, of course, of Chaya Rychek from the State Library Commission.
We want to call to action the medical records of Next Benedict to be open under the Open Records Act, because we do believe this was a hate crime. We want the removal of Chaya Rychek from our State Library Committee.
So you believe it was a hate crime, though she walked out of the school on her own power and then apparently went and murdered herself. No, what you want is to continue to put legs under the news story. You don't care about Next. You care about narrative. May Lord have mercy on that girl. What if he met her just as she died and gave her a chance? That would be just like Jesus. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
I said at the top of this segment, such a radio phrase, the beginning of this segment, that I often compare faith to exercise. And that's annoys some people. But please give me a chance to explain why I make this comparison. In wrestling with God of late, and I've been doing a lot of wrestling with God, a whole lot, on a number of topics, some of them interpersonal, some of them professional, really experiencing what it is to wake in the morning and still have the circumstances upon me that I've been asking God to explain. What am I to learn? If I'm not to learn, please lift these. Please give me clarity. And I'm really experiencing a day-to-day struggle. And what I've found is when these thoughts come into my mind, these struggles, what I've been doing is the moment the thought occurs to me, I've been praying the Word of God. And I've just been using the Lord's Prayer. One of the thoughts comes, and I just immediately, and I speak it out loud. Even if I'm in public, I speak it quietly. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I've also been taking a life verse I have and instantly speaking that. Instead of those thoughts, I speak the verses. And I've been finding this morning I woke up just absolutely calm. Those thoughts are gone. Praise God. So how do I compare this to exercise? Because one of the other things I've been doing is thanking God for the opportunity to live my faith. If we don't struggle with God, if there aren't some times where we want God to do something and he won't, because no is an answer. My grace alone is sufficient is an answer. We don't have to like the answer, but we can pray to God for the praise for the opportunity to live our faith. If you never live your faith, you never really know how much faith you have. There's the crossover to exercise. So I've shared with you this fact that I've signed up for a program called Seal Fit, and everybody who is my age kind of thinks it's madness. It's a 50-hour version of the Navy SEALs Hell Week. It's a tiny, small, small version of what those guys go through, which is, and Hell Week in itself is a small part of becoming a SEAL. People think it's the whole thing. It's very, very small part of it. And at my age, the chances of me coming out of this without some kind of serious injury is probably pretty slim. I wouldn't say serious, but some kind of injury. After all, it's 50 hours of exercise. This past weekend, I decided to give myself a little bit of a test, and I used something called the halfway point. So I put on a 20-pound plate carrier. It's a weight vest. And then I put two 40-pound dumbbells in my backpack, which already had about 20 pounds of gear in it. So the total weight was about 100 pounds. And then I climbed a place in North Idaho called Canfield Peak, and I went up the steep way. It's a total of about 1,900 feet in a little less than 2 miles. It's a hike. And I made this rule: no stopping till you can see the summit, and no questioning until you've reached the halfway point. So on my watch, my exercise watch, the second a question would start to arise, I don't think I can do this, I would instead insert the word of God. Well, you can do anything with God. The second a doubt became clear in my mind, I would speak the word of God, speak it out loud. When I got within sight of the summit, crazy thing happened. I ran into a friend. I don't know this guy very well. I'd like to know him better. He was coming down the mountain with 50 pounds. He'd come up a different way than I had. We visited briefly, and then the climb began, because it's in the last half mile that you gain about 800 vertical feet. It's steep, loose rock, etc. And at that point, I realized there's no turning back. There was no turning back, because I'd promised myself and I'd spoken the word of God. You might be at a halfway point in your life. Well, there's no turning back unless you want to completely go against the word of God. So praise God for the opportunity to test your faith, like I tested my fitness. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Until the Lord decides we can speak again together, may His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.